Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and a few notes before I continue here in the study of Joshua. Some interesting information that has been relayed to me on several points. One is you might want to check this out on YouTube. Go to your Google video search engine and put type in there "worm in brain," and you'll find you'll see the video of a surgeon removing trigonosis from a woman's brain. And of course, they explain that this is what you get when you eat uncooked pork. And so that's something to be aware of. Of course, our Creator, thousands of years before we could see the trigonosis or the germ of the trigonosis in the pork, He warned us about eating unclean meats or foods that were not fit for human consumption. And so there's just something there for you to say, yes, our God did know, and He gave us the law for a good reason. So it'll make you think twice about eating pork, I hope. And they say, of course, the moral of the story is to cook your pork. But I say the moral is listen to God, who said don't eat it in the first place. And it'll gross you out, but it'll give you a good idea of what trigonosis of the brain really looks like. And they say that it's increasing. But you know what I think? I think that a lot of people just die of it, or it doesn't affect them in such a way that they know it until it's too late. This woman just got it in her brain stem where it pressed against her nerves or something and started affecting her erratically so that she had to, you know, seek help. But if the worm shows up in another part of your brain, well, you just may not know what's going on for quite a while as you get, your brain gets dimmer and dimmer and you get stupider and stupider while this worm is eating your brain. So, the dietary laws, maybe there is something to that there. And another note for all of you that love the name of our Creator, Yahuwah, and the several derivations thereof, you might want to look for this article. It's not a video, but if you Google Vatican bans name of Creator Yahweh or something like that, just Google that, you'll find that article. And how the Vatican has now banned the name from all of their publications and school lessons and everything. The name of the Creator in its several pronunciations having to do with Yah or Yahweh or Yahuwah, and on it goes. So I see that the first beast of Revelation is now banning the Creator. Of course, they have their own God on earth. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, men, as always, they want to worship a man. They need a man they can look to as a savior. And I believe that's why they have this president that they have, because all of mankind is just pining away for a savior, someone who can save them from all of the ills that their idolatry has brought on the society, of course, without giving up their idolatries. So anyway, just a couple interesting notes there and something you might want to take a look at. Let's jump back into the story here. Of course, we have the spies, the children of Israel in Jericho, visiting, of course, the inn of the harlot's house, where they can get a room or a place they can stay that's a low-rent district. And they end up in Rahab's place, and she hides them and sends the police on a wild goose chase looking for them because they heard that there were a couple children of Israel in the city. And she chooses allegiance with Israel and with the God of Israel because she believes that God has given the city to them. And everyone's afraid. It's quite obvious that that the city was given, and I mean, by the conquests of Israel over the last 40 years, that from the beginning, when all of the Egyptians were drowned in the sea, their fame was still about in the land for that 40 years, and now they were at the doorstep of Jericho, And she hides them, and then she says, get you down to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. So he's saying, well, you put this sign on your door, and whoever's in your house is going to be safe. But whoever goes out, well, we can't guarantee their safety. Their blood will be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. You keep your word, we'll keep ours, in other words. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came to the mountain and abode 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly, Yahuwah hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And what a different report we have this time from the report that they had that 40 years ago when, it was more than 40 years, wasn't it? Because it was another 40 years. No, they had to wander 40 years. But 40 years ago when they sent out spies to spy the land, and they fainted, the spies fainted, all except for Caleb and Joshua, and that's why they were there. They were the only ones to enter, to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. So they come back with a good report this time. 40 years in the wilderness, it seems to have done some good and raised up a whole new generation of people that would believe in the Word of God, that didn't carry all that baggage. You know, it's like the saying goes, you can take the slave out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the slave. And that was the problem, as they were always looking back. So we had a new generation that did not know Egypt, and therefore they did not long for Egypt, they did not long for the safety, the comforts of Egypt, or the comforts of slavery. Because yes, there is a comfort in servitude, because you don't have to worry about yourself. You have Massa, your master will take care of everything for you. There is a small comfort in that. So we move on to chapter 3 of Joshua. And Joshua, Yahushua, phonetically pronounced in the Hebrew, the same name as the Savior, he being a type of the Savior. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of Yahuwah your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Yahuwah will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And Yahuwah, the Lord, said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of Yahuwah your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that you will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take you twelve men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. And you know, this is interesting here. We have the Lord twice here. In this, referring to chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, the priests that bear the ark of the Lord. And actually, it's not, he's not stuttering when he writes. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's saying the ark of Yahuwah by name, the creator. And then it says, actually says, the Lord, which is, I believe, the Adonai. Yes, and that's what it is, Adon or Adonai. So we know that our Creator did not stutter, and neither did Moses, or, well, I guess it wouldn't be Moses, would it? It would be Joshua or one of the scribes that would have penned the book of Joshua. So we have the Ark of Yahuwah, the Creator by name, the Lord Adonai of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bore their Ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bore the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. And it says that parenthetically. For Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood up and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam. And let's see, what is this? The city Adam. I guess I haven't heard of that city before, but Mene. Interesting. To look into that a little deeper. But anyway, the waters rose up upon a heap. So I don't know how you heap up waters, but I'm sure our Creator can do whatever he wants, since it is his universe and everything belongs to him, and he commands it all. So if he says the waters were heaped up, then the waters were heaped up. And from the city that beside the Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So perhaps the people of Jericho had thought they had some protection by the water, but the water was heaped up so that they crossed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that Yahuwah spoke unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command them, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in your lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the Ark of the Covenant, your God, before the Ark of Yahuwah, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, to take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder. So, I mean, these are not little stones. They're talking about a big stone, something they would have to heave up upon their shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? And you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And I don't know where those stones are today, but you know what? I'll bet you our Creator knows exactly where they are. And perhaps we will see those very stones one of these days, if things like that mean anything to you. Okay, Joshua chapter 4 and verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as Yahuwah spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Of course, this day was, I guess, the day that this was written. For the priests which bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that Yahuwah commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of Yahuwah passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spoke unto them. So these are the ones that were staying on, their families, their clans, their tribes were staying on the other side of the Jordan, but their men of war were passing over. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before Yahuwah unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, Yahuwah magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And Yahuwah spoke unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bore the ark of the covenant of Yahuwah were come up out of the midst of Jordan, that the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So the 10th day of the first month. And wouldn't Passover, wasn't that like the 14th or 15th day of the first month? So just getting an idea of when their year was. And of course, that would be mean that this was spring, because it was Abib. It was when it was the winter harvest, basically. If they had fields planted, they would know that. And I'm sure there were fields planted in the land of in Canaan, by at least by the people that dwelt there. So it was the 10th day. They set up the 12 stones. And Joshua pitched, they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke to the children of Israel, chapter 4, verse 21, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for Yahuwah, your God, dried up the water of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as Yahuwah, your God, did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, Yahuwah by name, that it is mighty, and that you might fear Yahuwah, your God, forever. And that ends chapter 4 of Joshua. Moving on to chapter 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that Yahuwah had dried up the water of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. I mean, for 40 years they had heard about the Red Sea, how it dried up and the children of Israel passed over, and then how it filled back up and swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh and all of his chariots. And they sang that song 40 years, and now it's come to their very own doorstep. They've seen the Jordan River dry up and their hearts melted. Yes. Chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, Yahuwah said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yahuwah, unto whom Yahuwah swore that he would not show them the land which he swore unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And, okay, well, looks like my break is here. I'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll continue in the book of Joshua. Stay tuned for the news.